Thanks for tuning in to Mountain View Fellowship's weekly podcast with lead pastor Don Headley. At MVF, our mandate is pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. We know Jesus cared for people and placed a lot of emphasis on relationships, so we do too. We believe that we're created for relationship with God and that He gave each one of us a desire to belong. If you'd like more information about MVF, connect with us at mvfcolorado.com. Now, stay tuned for this week's message.
We are excited about today because it is our 14th year anniversary. And so we're celebrating 14 years of God's faithfulness. Yeah. And again, we're going to get more into that here in just a minute. But we're kicking off a series today entitled, I Love My Church. And that might sound kind of self-serving, but let me tell you why we're doing this. Because we're going to talk about the things that are important, about maybe a couple of things that we have been looking at over the last 14 years that we were kind of established on, that we said maybe we've loosened our grip on or we've let go of, that we need to get serious about again. And so you're going to hear some great stuff over the next few weeks all about why we're here, what God is doing in and through Mountain View Fellowship. And so I want to share with you today this idea of why I love this church. And so today I want to send you to a passage. It's actually in Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 16 through 19. If you have the Word of God, go ahead and flip open to it. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Those guys coming up and down the aisle will hand you one. It's our gift to you. Just head over to Matthew chapter 16 with us this morning. And like I said before, if you have the app, you can just look it up on the app too. You'll notice on the app, there's a module that says engage. If you click that, that is obviously to help you engage. And so a lot of that's set up for Sunday mornings. There's the Bible where you can click on the Bible. And if you do that, it will literally pull up all the passages that we're covering this morning. And you just scroll down and they're all in order for you. So it makes it nice and easy. And the main reason for all of that, why we pass out Bibles, why we put it on the app for you, is because we want you to read the Word of God for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. So we want you in the Word of God. Also, there's a section in there for message notes. You can take message notes and then email those to yourself. And so there's some great opportunities there for you to get more into the Word of God and deepen your faith and your knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so hopefully you'll take advantage of that today. I heard a story years ago about some soldiers. They were part of the D-Day invasion. They went into Normandy. They went further into France. They were kind of separated from the main group. I don't know if they parachuted in or what the deal was, but they had been fighting for several weeks, moving their way into France, and wet, hungry, I mean, just separated from everybody else. Communication was at a minimum, and just fighting every little skirmish they came across. And so these guys were tight. They were working together, but they were just wore out. And they came into this one area. It was a little town, and it had been bombed out. It was just nothing but rubble, and they decided it would be a good place to camp for the night. They did a search, didn't find any enemies, and so they felt like this would be a safe place for us to hunker down for the night. And during that search, one of the soldiers was digging through the rubble or something and found, and I don't know if it was a can or what it was, but it was some coffee. That might sound really just ridiculous, like that doesn't mean anything, really. But let me tell you what happened. They figured out a way to heat up some water, and they heated up the water, and I don't know if, I think it was a sock that they used for a filter or something, but they filtered that water through those grounds and made a cup of coffee. And those soldiers sat around, and they shared a cup of coffee. Now, what happened next is what I want to point your attention to. What began was story time. They begin to talk about home. They begin to talk about coffee shops or hanging out at grandma's house and sharing a coffee or smelling it and being reminded of grandpa or whatever it was. And they were sharing these stories about home in the midst of this war, this battle, this horrible place, far from home, wet, hungry, and they begin to reminisce about home. And what that did is that recharged them. It gave them a new purpose. It renewed their passion for what they were doing there. Now, I'm just going to say it this way. Sometimes we need to be reminded of home so that we might push forward. Sometimes we need to remember where we came from so that we don't forget where we're headed. Sometimes we need to remember home so that we don't lose our way, so that we remember why we were on this journey in the first place. And so today, I want to share with you some stories of home. I want to remind you of home in hopes that it would push you forward, in hopes that you would understand, yes, this is what we set out to accomplish, and let's stay the course. And so today, I'm going to be sharing with you kind of the history of Mountain View Fellowship, where we've come from, what we were established on, what's been going on. Because for any of you that are in business or you're involved in some type of organizational management, you know a word, it's a phrase called mission drift, that it can happen overnight. Like you set out as a business or an organization to accomplish something, and before long you got your nose to the grind, you're just getting after it, right? And then you look up and you realize you're nowhere close to where you wanted to be, or you forgot why you were doing what you were doing. And so that can happen so easily. Another thing that can happen is if you're in the middle of this process and you're not paying attention to where you came from and where you're headed, many times you can just get burned out. Or worse yet, you'll just get to a place where you'll go, well, you know what, this is good enough, and we get comfortable and we stop altogether, which I think is probably the worst out of the three. Now, I want to share with you that 14 years ago, we launched a church right here in Strasburg. But a year leading up to that, there was a group of people that were getting together, and they were dreaming, they were talking about what would it look like if a new church were to start up that was passionate about reaching the lost, that had the heart of God, and God held the reins to it, and he was the one that controlled it. What would that church look like? And we began to meet in our basement, and pretty soon one of the guys in that group said, well, why are we doing this during the week? Like, we're thinking about starting a church on Sunday mornings. Why don't we just start meeting on Sunday mornings as well? And by that time, we were starting to add to the numbers, and it outgrew our basement. And there was a garage here in Strasburg that had been bought out, and they had just kind of remodeled the whole thing, and they turned the front section into a bank, and they put a community room in the back. It's TBK Bank today, but it wasn't that back then. It used to be a garage. And so we went to them and said, would you allow us to meet here, because we can't meet in the basement anymore? And they said, yeah, you can meet here on Sundays. And so we started to meet in that community room. And it was a group of people that were just, we would get together and we would do some vision casting. We would dream about what God was doing, and we would spend time in prayer and just go, God, what is the direction for this new thing that you want to do? And it was so much fun in those early days to talk about it. Scary when we got closer and closer to launching it. But man, it was fun talking about it and just dreaming about what God was going to do. And it went for week after week leading up to our launch date. And we actually had to push our launch date back twice because we weren't ready. We didn't have the equipment we needed, or there were things that we just didn't feel were in place yet. And by the time we got ready to launch, I mean, we were clear into the fall. But that whole summer leading up to that, we were like getting together all the time and dreaming and talking about this, and shaping this new thing that would become Mountain View Fellowship. Now, I want to stop just for a minute. I want to ask this. Do we have anybody in here that was on that original launch team before we ever launched the church? Do we have anybody? If you would, stand up for me. Would you do that? Okay, yeah, Jeff. Jeff and his family were a part of this. And Angie, yeah, Angie was part of it too, yeah. She had to, though. She was kind of stuck. Okay, so two. Yeah, we had, I think, three in the first service. And what's interesting, I looked through these pictures, and we've seen a lot of people move away. We've seen some people in these pictures have actually passed, which has been sad. They've gone on to be with Jesus. And so it's amazing to me that here this morning in this service, we've got two of them. And what that did is it shaped the church for the future. We got to October 2nd, 2005, and I remember that morning. It was so amazing because we gathered together, we went in, we set up everything, we got ready, we prepared, but we weren't sure if anybody was actually going to show up. Like, we were scared to death. Like, what happens if nobody shows up this morning? What are we going to do? And it was so awesome to watch people actually show up and flow into those services that first Sunday. We were just bouncing off the wall. We were so excited. We're like, we'll just take one person. It doesn't matter. If one person comes, we're going to be happy with that, right? And we had a good number show up that first week. It was like 472 or something, I think, that first Sunday. And through my amazing leadership, I grew us down to about 260 over about 2 months. It was amazing. But when we finally launched the church, this is what it looked like. We went to Strasburg School District and we said, do you have a location? Because we can't find a location to meet in. And they said, well, you can use our Strasburg Elementary School cafeteria. And it was awesome because we had a space. We were so excited, but it smelled like junior high feet. And so we had to deal with that. It was an amazing time. Now, this picture's a little different. This was on a Sunday where we had Hawaiian Shirt Day, and they all wore their Hawaiian. This is not a church in Hawaii, okay? This is right here in Strasburg. But we had a lot of fun with that day. But this is what it looked like. It seated probably 200 and, I don't know, 230 maybe. It wasn't very many. I think we were packing, close to 260 or so, 280 in there sometimes between the two services. And it was crazy because in the corner to my right here, there's this ice machine, this big industrial ice machine that inevitably would dump a whole load of ice right at the worst time during the service. Like we'd be in the middle of prayer, God, and we just ask, and it would just dump. It was awesome. This was amazing because we kept meeting in here. We met here for 7 years, and the problem with this was that we needed more space for big services because we had hit the walls. And so they said, well, for a bigger service, we just built this brand new junior high gym. You can meet over at Hemp Hill if you want to do that for Christmas and Easter. And so that's what we would do. And so we would actually gather over there. And this was like I think this was a Sunday after Christmas programs one time. But we would meet there. But it made us so nervous because we would have to go in and hang projectors and screens. And we were worried. They had a brand new maple floor. Like we couldn't scratch the floors. It was just nerve-wracking. And we were afraid because we knew that we didn't have another place. Like we had to take care of this because if we lost this, we would be in big trouble. The other problem that we had over at Strasburg Elementary is that for 2 weeks every year in August, we would get kicked out because they would have to refinish all the floors, and so we didn't have a place to meet in. And so literally, we would come out here, and we would put a tent on the property, and we would actually do tent services right here on the property for those 2 weeks, which was a ton of work. It was amazing how much work went into the service, but it's what we had to do just to keep going. And many of you remember that because you were helping us drive in stakes and set the tent up and bring the porta-potties out and all the things that we had to do by the county to make the county happy to be able to do services out there. But for the most part, this is what it looked like every week, week in and week out. And for a long time, we had those metal chairs. It was uncomfortable. We had our children's department in a hallway. Like they wouldn't give us any rooms. And so it was in a hallway. We'd put a pipe and drape, and you dropped your kids off there. Like you guys are horrible parents. That was just bad. I can't believe that you guys entrusted us with your kids in that situation. But it was amazing because it wasn't about the location. It was about the people. And our volunteers would just pour into our kids and just teach them scripture and teach them all about Jesus. And it was awesome. Those early days were a lot of fun, but it was a ton of work. If you came during those first 7 years at Strasburg Elementary School, if you first started coming to Mountain View Fellowship at the school there in Strasburg, would you stand? I want you to see this, what happens here. Okay, we got more people. See that? We went from just a couple to more. So over those 7 years, you guys started coming. Man, you guys need an applause because that was some work. Putting up with that ice machine. Thank you, guys. Now, the other thing is we realized that every fall we would grow, we'd hit the walls, and we would die down. So several years after this, our elders got together and they said, we can't do this anymore. We planted this church to reach as many people for Christ as we can, so we got to keep growing. So what are we going to do? And we started looking for a place, and it was so cool because they're like, we don't care. We'll take a pole barn. I mean, this is how excited we were back in the day. We'll take a pole barn. It doesn't even need to be, it could be a dirt floor. We'll make it happen, you know? And so we started looking, and there was nothing. Like any of you that know anything about commercial buildings out here, we have nothing. There was no place, no option for us to go anywhere. And then about that time, Bennett High School got a grant, and they built an auditorium onto their school. And so we went over and took a look at it. And so we spent 7 years at Strasburg, and on October 7th, 2012, we moved over to Bennett, and they allowed us to move into this facility, and we began holding services at the Bennett High School auditorium. And we did it there for 5.5 years, and there were some good things and some bad things. It gave us more space. We were able to grow. One of the tough things about it was, how many of you have coffee in your hands this morning? Yeah, you like your coffee, don't you? Yeah, see, if you know anything about this church, we like to eat and drink. And when we moved over to Bennett, they said no liquids and no food in the auditorium, and that really crimped our style. It really did. And it was a little rough at the point, and they had, like, police standing at the doors checking, make sure you didn't have any, anyway. It wasn't quite that bad, but it was pretty bad. But we did have nicer rooms for our children. We had a nice wing for them. We had classrooms for them. We'd have to go in and remodel them and move things around and make it happen, but it happened. And so we were happy. And the other thing about this move was it actually was similar to this building because it was an auditorium. It had a lobby that had both entrances. It began to teach us that our lobby was too small, that we needed to make it bigger, and all these different things that we learned from being here in Bennett. And so if you came to Mountain View Fellowship in the 5.5 years that we were holding services at Bennett, if that was the first time that you started coming, would you stand up? Watch this. Isn't this cool? Like it grows at each stage. It's just kind of cool. We did this in the first service, and I was amazed at the number of people that came at Bennett, and then, of course, this last one. Thank you. And you guys need a hand because, because having to sit through a service without coffee to keep you awake, I don't know how you did it. That preacher's boring. But anyway, we started to realize we have to have a place. Something that us as leaders, elders and staff and all, we would talk about, well, we would only do it in whispers, is if we lose this place, we are in big trouble. And we didn't want to say it loud enough for our enemy to hear, but we were like, we knew that we had to make this happen because if we got kicked out, there was no place to go. And so we were really, really in a lot of prayer in those days of just going, God, please protect us, help us out here. We knew that this was limited and there was only a certain amount of time and we needed a home for this body. And so we began to look at what it would take to build a building on the property. And here's what ended up happening. 4 years ago, we gathered together like this. We worshiped. And then all of you drove out to this piece of property. And we had a service out here where we dedicated the property. We broke ground. We had a baptism service. I think we baptized like 20 people that day. It was a great day. But I love this picture because this is what's happening. If you look where those cars are parked way off in the distance, that's your driveway. So looking out this way. And you guys actually outlined the outline of this building. So you're standing on the edges of where this building is at now. Like where you're sitting is actually where that dude is standing right in the middle of the field there on the right-hand side. That's where you're at. And we marked out that building, and we dedicated this building, this property, everything to God on that day. And it's been amazing to see what God has done. We moved in here 1.5 years ago, and we had an amazing ministry. Solomon Foundation came alongside of us, financed us when no one else would, helped us build this place, and we moved in here 1.5 years ago. Now, I would say this, we are blessed beyond belief. We pinch ourselves every day when we come in here. We know that this is a blessing from God, and we want to make sure that we make the most of it when it comes to growing God's kingdom, because this is his building. So if you've started coming to Mountain View Fellowship since we built this building, like after the grand opening or from the grand opening till now, you started coming, would you please stand? Isn't this cool? Like at each stage. Thank you, guys. We're so thrilled that you're here. So, and we want to see that continue to grow. You know why? Because there's empty chairs, and we need to bring more people in. And so this is the heart of this church, and we're so excited to be here. Like I said, God has blessed us tremendously, and we don't forget that any day that we walk in here. Like every day, we're celebrating God's faithfulness and what he's done, his blessing here. So I'm excited that all of you are here, whether you're part of the launch team, whether you're part of just this last week or this week if you're brand new, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Now today, I want to share with you why it's awesome that you're here. Because whether you know it or not, you are the church. It's not the building. It's you. And I want to share with you today, in this series entitled, I Love My Church, we're going to fill in a blank every week. So we're going to use the phrase, a church that blank. And we're going to fill that blank in every week to point us in a direction that God wants us to go. And today, I want to share with you a church that rocks. A church that rocks. And I know what you're thinking, like music, no, it's not really that, okay? And some of you have already noticed the rocks across the front of the stage. And I know, when we got the kids up here, that was my first thought, too. That was really bad planning, right? Put all the kids up here with rocks. But I want to share with you a church that rocks, and I want to give you some ways that a church rocks. I want to share with you what makes a church rocks. And then I'm going to share with you just a little bit of a vision, and then at the very end of this, I'm going to give you the opportunity to commit to that vision. I'm just telling you up front what we're doing today, all right? So you ready? So a church that rocks. The first thing that makes a church rock is a church that's got a foundation in Jesus Christ. And I would say, actually, Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Like, you can't add anything to it. Otherwise, you're not rocking anymore. Like, you have to be established on the rock. You have to have your foundation in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And one of the stories I always go to when I'm thinking about this and is this story about Jesus walking with his disciples. It's found in Matthew chapter 16, if you're there already. And Jesus is walking along, and they're just doing life together, hanging out. He's just doing, you know, he's teaching them and discipling them, and they're having a conversation there. I don't know, they're going to a restaurant or something, and they just think they're having a normal conversation. And Jesus asks a question out of the blue. He just says, "Who do people say that I am?" And there's this I don't know, banter going back and forth. I don't know, a prophet, Elijah. We don't know. They just think you're a lot of different people. And in the midst of this, they didn't know what was about to happen, but Jesus was about to teach them something, and he flipped the question, and he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And I want you to look at Peter's response. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, if you've read that passage before, you knew this was coming, and you're like, "Oh yeah, that's what he says." But let me tell you, every time I read this statement, I'm more and more amazed at Peter. I relate to him because he's one of those guys that shoots his mouth off a lot before he thinks, and I can relate to that. But this time, he gets it right. Like, this time, he nails it. He asks him, "Who do you say that I am?" And he just goes off and says, "You're the Messiah." You know what Messiah is? That's Savior, the one that's prophesied about, the one that we've been waiting for, that's going to come and redeem the world. "You're the Son of the living God." That's what he says. Now, before you go, "Yeah, but he's a disciple," I want to tell you that in this context, it's incredible, because there are people that are going to Jesus and going, "Are you really who you say you are? I don't know, show us a miracle." There's others that are like, "That's heresy, blasphemy. We need to seek to kill him. Let's go after him." There's people actively trying to kill Jesus. They don't believe that he is who he says he is. There's a lot of doubt, a lot of confusion. Remind you of our culture today? Anyway, in the midst of all of that, Peter stands up and goes, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He makes that proclamation. Jesus, I believe, gives us an answer to what makes the church rock in this very next verse, his response. Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church." Now let me push the pause button for a minute and ask this. Is Jesus saying that he's going to build a church upon Peter? No. Now I need you to know that, because Catholicism actually believes that, and that's how they establish a pope and everything else, okay? But that's not the way we translate this passage. Did he mean that upon people like you, men or women like you, pastors, upon an amazing charismatic speaker, I'm going to build my church? Is that what he meant? No, I hope everyone says no, because that's not what he meant. All you have to do is look around the world today and see how many pastors have fallen. Moral failures, stolen money, right? That's a horrible foundation to build a church on. Don't do that. And I always tell everybody here, don't put me on a platform, because I'm going to let you down. I'm just like you. I'm trying my best to be more and more like Christ every day. And God willing, I'll be better tomorrow. That's what I'm trying to do. But don't put me on that pedestal. That is not what Jesus is saying here. Think about it. Upon this rock, I will build my church. The rock that he's talking about, think about what Peter had just done. He stood there in the midst of all the doubt, in the midst of the accusations, and he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He's saying, upon people that stand and proclaim this, I'm going to build my church. Do you know what makes a church rock? When the foundation is Jesus Christ and the people in the church say it that way. When there's a group of people that gather together and they go, "He is the Messiah, he is the Son of the living God," that's a church. And not just say it, but they live it out. They proclaim it in an unbelieving world, in a world that's doubting, or a world that's going against the claims of Jesus. And yet they still stand and claim that he is the Messiah, he is the living God. That's what Jesus is talking about. Now, you get a group of people that put their faith in Jesus Christ and they declare that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus says that he can accomplish this through it. Check this out. and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. You want a church that rocks? You find a church that has its foundation on Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And then you gather people together that claim that he is the Messiah. And that is something that Jesus can change the world with. That's something he can change our communities and our families with. And this is what makes a church rock. When we have our foundation on Jesus, that makes Mountain View Fellowship rock. A second thing is you need a clear vision. Not only do you have to have your foundation, Jesus, but you have to be clear about the mission. The mission has got to be known. It's got to be easy to follow. And what I find interesting is so often when we're talking to other pastors or other churches and go, okay, what's the mission? How many churches are confused about what they're called to do? I don't think there's any confusion at all. I think actually the mission is so clear. It's amazing that we miss it. But yet so often we're lost. And we need to be reminded of it quite often because, as we talked about before, mission drift, we have to be reminded of it. But the idea is, it's clear. Jesus gave it to us. He was with his disciples before he ascended into heaven, and he's standing there, and you can almost take this as last words. Like, you're not going to waste any breath. You're going to say what's important in that moment. You just have a few things to say before you leave, and this is what Jesus tells them. And I bookended it because I want you to see this, because we miss this so often. We'll read the Great Commission, but we miss the bookends. He starts off by saying, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been giving all authority in heaven and on earth. Like, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the other bookend. I've been given all authority in heaven and earth, and know this, I'm going to be with you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, I'm with you to the end of the age. So in the middle of all of that, here's what I want you to do. Go, baptize, teach them everything I've commanded you. This is the mission of the church. It couldn't be any more clear. You want to know what the mission is, what it looks like? This is what it looks like. Reach, baptize, teach. Reach, baptize, teach. Reach, baptize, teach. Over and over and over again. The screen's not big enough. This is what our goal is. Now, when we say church, I know so many of you, you're sitting there and you're going, okay, Mountain View Fellowship, it's these people, and it's not. You are the church. Didn't we establish that? We're established on Jesus Christ. We're a community. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We come together and we declare he is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. And he gives us this mission as his church, which means every one of us, our whole mission is to reach, baptize, teach. That's our mission. And let me just give you some straight talk this morning. There is nothing in life more important than that. Not. We get distracted by our jobs and things and stuff and accumulating, and this is the most important thing. If you call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ, this is your mission. It's clear. Foundation is on Jesus. Clear mission. And then thirdly, what makes a church rock is a church that advances. It can't be stuck. It can't plateau. It can't. Why are they declining? When the foundation is on Jesus and the mission is clear, you should be advancing. We should be about our Father's business. We're supposed to be doing what he's called us to do, but yet so often we're just kind of sleepwalking through life. We have to get serious about reaching, about baptizing and teaching. The leadership here at the church has always been asking this question, you know what? Given our mission, how do we advance? We know what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus made it clear. So how do we do that in our context? How do we do that right here in Eastern Colorado? What does that look like? That's where all of our mandate, our map, our motive, our measures, that's where all that came from. Is we just took what Jesus gave us and we said, okay, how do we do this? And one of the questions we ask is, how do we shine the brightest in this area? And what we found out is we have a a culture that lives on 40 acres. We have fences. We have garage door openers. We don't talk to our neighbors. We don't have any authentic relationships. And the way that we can shine the brightest is by fostering relationships. And so we put together an entire motive mandate on how to accomplish this. This is what it looks like. Our motive is you over me, because we want to be people that look like Jesus Christ. He put others first. He went out of his way to meet with sinners. He got on his hands and knees and he washed the feet of the disciples. It's you over me, and that's what drives us in this, because if we make this about ourselves, we've lost our way. The way we shine the brightest is, and the way we accomplish this mission that God has given us, is to point people to Jesus by fostering relationships. So we're going to foster relationships. This is how we can reach the people in our community and shine brighter, to be able to shine the gospel light into our families, our communities, our towns, is by fostering relationships. And then we have a map and a measure. Which direction are we going to go with this? How do we do that? We said fostering relationships up, in, and out. Up with God, in with each other, out with those who don't know Christ. And then we put measures to it. How do we know that we're actually accomplishing it? We're going to foster a relationship with God every day, because that's where it starts. We're going to foster relationships with other believers at least once a week. That's life groups and getting together in Bible studies, and that's that teaching, learning together, that discipleship aspect. And then we're going to foster relationships out with somebody who doesn't know Christ at least once a month. We put it as once a month, but man, I hope you're doing it daily. I hope there's a coworker, a fellow student, a family member that you are constantly in contact with, fostering relationships in hopes of being able to point them to Jesus. That's the idea behind all of this. Now, in this, as a church, we said, okay, if we're doing this, how do we know that we're headed in the right direction? How do we know we're accomplishing what God has called us to accomplish? And so we actually set up two more M's, if you like M's, right? Milestones and mountaintops. A mountaintop would be something like 9 churches in Eastern Colorado all working together to win Eastern Colorado to Christ. So planting 9 more campus churches. A milestone would be, well, what's the first step of that? It's like eating an elephant, right? You got to figure out what the first bite is. And so we said, you know what? Lyman. Lyman makes more sense. We can go to Lyman. We can plant a church there. And so we're working on those steps to keep us advancing. Your elders were out there, I think, 2 months ago, taking a look at a building in Lyman, praying, asking God, is this it? Is this where you want us to go? Is this the building, maybe, that you want us to come in and remodel and launch a new church in? So we're working on advancing. One of the milestones that I just love, I'm going to share with you again because I just love it so much. I shared this with you a few weeks ago, is this idea of if we're raising people up, we're reaching them, we're baptizing them, right? We baptize them, and when they come up out of the water, we've entered into a covenant relationship of discipling them, and then we teach them how to reach somebody, to baptize them, to disciple them, right? It's this it's a process. It just replicates itself. It's this idea of disciples making disciples. And so in that, what we said is one of the milestones is for 2019, we said we want 50 baptisms and we want 40 of them by someone other than a pastor. And what we've seen is this, at the end of August, we hit this already. We baptized 71 people with 43 different people getting in the tub. That is a mark to me that we're on the right track, that we're getting it. We're starting to foster, that is definitely worth it. Because that means we're getting it. We're actually starting to live this out. We're reaching our friends and family, and we're baptizing them, and we're discipling them to go and reach and baptize and teach. This is the life of a disciple of Christ. And so I'm excited about this. Now, the sad part of this is when we look at the American church, this isn't happening very often. We need to learn how to do this. We need to make this a life mission and start living this out if we call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ. Here's my goal. You want a mountaintop? I want all of us to be spiritual grandparents. Like you went, you reached a friend, you baptized them, you discipled them. They went out, they reached somebody, they baptized them. You're a spiritual grandparent. Some of us have been walking with Christ long enough, we should be, by now, spiritual great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, and we haven't even reached one person. We got to get serious about this and start living this life that Christ has called us to. And so I want us to commit ourselves today to this. So let me share with you, go to Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. I want to share with you a story out of Joshua, and then I'm going to tie it to this, because this idea of a church that rocks, I'm going to tie these rocks into it right now, because I know some of you are wondering what we're doing with these things today. This story in Joshua is an amazing story, because Joshua has been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness with the people. If you know this story, they've been freed from Egypt. God brought them out. He split the Red Sea. They crossed over. He brought them all the way to the promised land. Listen to me, the promised land. And they were like, nope, can't do it. They're too big. We're like grasshoppers. And God said, fine, if you're not going to take it, you're going to wander in the desert until this unbelieving generation dies off. And that's exactly what happens. You get to the end of that. Joshua is now the leader. He's determined they're not going to make the same mistake again. So they're following God and everything that he says, and they're trying to take the promised land. So now we pick the story up right when they're getting ready to enter into the promised land after 40 years of wandering. And this is what it says, starting in verse 14. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, if you were here for the movie series, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, we talked about the Ark and all. That's what they're talking about. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. And so you got a Jordan River. They got to cross the Jordan River to go into the Promised Land, which is by Jericho, by the way. If you know your history, this is getting, it's going to get real tense real quick. And so they're going to cross the Jordan. And so as they get ready to cross it, it says that the priests tip their, as soon as their toes touch the river's edge, it says that the waters split. And so at one side, downstream, it just runs all the way to the Dead Sea, and the riverbed becomes dry. And on the other side, it just dams up and starts piling up and continues to pile up. And it's amazing to me because in the midst of all of this, it says, meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Now, I want to stop for a minute, because we read this and it takes all of 6 seconds to read it. We miss it so often. But I want you to get a mental picture today. You've got these people who have picked up the Ark of the Covenant. They've stepped into the water. The water split. A miracle has happened. They're standing in the middle of the riverbed holding this ark while the whole nation crosses. Now, there's all kinds of speculations from scholars as to how many people we're talking about. It's around 6 million people. Let me ask you a question. We read that in 6 seconds. How long does it take for 6 million people to cross? How long were they standing there? And see, all of these people are crossing. They're taking the promised land. They've been waiting for this for a long time. And so here they come. They're crossing the Jordan. They're going up into the promised land. They're breaking out the tents. They're celebrating. They get the frisbee out. Somebody flips the top on the Traeger. They got some hamburgers going. They're having a party. And the whole time, these guys are standing in the middle of this riverbed, holding it. On that note, I want to thank every one of you that has served over the last 14 years. Some of you have spent every week greeting, handing out bulletins, leading worship, running tech, setting up lights, setting up chairs, and you do it still. Even though we got a new facility, you still come in early on Sunday mornings and set up all these chairs for everybody and put them in nice, neat rows. Some of you have changed diapers for 14 years. Thank you. God bless you. Right? I mean, all of the people, and I just coffee, making coffee, and all the things that we could go into, teaching our kids and hanging out with them, and all the things that, it's amazing to me, over the 14 years, the amount of time that you guys have poured into this church, standing, holding the ark, so that more people might see Jesus, might come into the promised land. Thank you. Now, I want to encourage you and say, keep going. Because here's what's happening. God has given us this building, and he's about to do something absolutely incredible. He's building us up. He's working toward, we just feel him moving. Something amazing is about to happen. Stay at it. Keep doing it. We're partnering with him and what he's already been working on, and I'm excited about what the future holds. I hope you're not getting burned out. I hope that you can catch the vision this morning and that it renews you to keep pushing forward. But thank you. I just want to pause and say thank you. Even though you think you were behind the scenes and no one saw what you were doing, we did. And so thank you to every one of you. Now, Joshua chapter 4 starts the rest of the story. It says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I don't know how big these stones were. I don't know how he picked the 12 guys. I don't know if he picked the monsters among every tribe and they went in there and they picked up these big old massive boulders and carried them out. I don't know. But I imagine if God had told Joshua, and I got selected from one of the tribes, I'm not picking up a pebble. You with me on that? Like, you're going to give God your best. I imagine they carried these big, massive stones out of this dry riverbed that was dry because of what God had done to bring his people into the promised land. This is what they did with it. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Now here's my question for you. Why a memorial? Why a monument? Because we see this in Scripture quite often. Something happens, and they build a massive stone monument. Well, I think there's several reasons. First of all, it's to mark something significant that God had done in and through his people. So it was to mark it. Like, this is amazing what God has done. Can I just say this building is that? It's amazing what God has done here. Like, if you would go back 13 years, like we'd been going a year, and you had taken a bet on whether we would make it or not, you would have betted against us. I promise you. If you had come in early this morning and seen what was going on, you know, a lift here in the middle of the auditorium fixing the projectors that won't stay on, and all the other stuff that happened this morning, you would still bet against us. But you know what? God has given Jesus all the authority in heaven and on earth, and he is with us even to the end of the age. And when he tells you to go do something, he gives you what you need to do it. This marks what God has done, something significant in what he's doing in his people. Another reason you do a monument or a memorial, it's for commitment. Like, it marks a moment when you go, okay, this is when I decided. This is to remind me that in this moment I made this decision. Another reason is it's a reminder of what God had done. Okay? And it even says in the passage, someday your kids are going to ask you, and you're going to tell them, this is what God did. He did a miracle. That's why we put that there, so we wouldn't forget that. And the last one I'll give you is it provides a foundation for what's to come, because here's how God works. He asks you not to take this faith step, but to take this faith step. And when you get here, he'll say, okay, now I want you to take this one. Now I want you to take this one. Now I want you to take this one. And then by the time you get here, you look at it, and you go, you know what? If I was still down here and you asked me to take that one, I wouldn't have taken it. But God has a way of showing up, showing his faithfulness so that we'll take that step, and then it builds our faith to take even a bigger step next time. This is what God is doing with this monument. I want you to mark it. Remember what I've done. It shows my faithfulness, and then it'll encourage you to take the next step. So today, here's my challenge for you, is to accept this Missio Dei, this mission of God that he has given this church. I want you to commit yourself to the mission and vision here at Mountain View Fellowship. And the way that we're going to do that is that we're at the end of the service. You're going to come up if you want. You can grab one of these rocks. You can write your names, maybe every name of your family on it, whatever you want to do, date it. You can put a message. It doesn't matter, a prayer. You can write whatever you want on it. And then take some time as you leave today to walk around and put it somewhere in the landscaping. We don't care. You can put it anywhere. You know why? Because this is God's property. We're not going to get run out of here. Isn't that awesome? So go celebrate that and mark it with one of these stones. Now, before you commit to that, I want to read to you a vision that we have for Mountain View Fellowship. And let me first tell you where this came from. This vision has been adopted over the years. This particular vision, I went back to 10 years ago. I think it was January of 2009. We had a meeting and I wrote this vision out. And fast forward 10 years, we've now been given this how to apply God's mission through pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships up in and out. So what I did is I took that vision from 10 years ago and I adapted it to fostering up relationships, in relationships, and out relationships. And so this is what you would be committing to today if you decide to accept this, to come down, mark a stone, and leave it out. All right? I wrote this in first person. I desire to belong to a church that points people to Jesus by fostering up relationships. I desire to belong to a church where God is glorified above all else and where the name of Jesus is made big. A church where only God holds the reins. A church that cannot be contained by four walls. Where His vision reigns in the hearts of the members who live out the Great Commission and Great Commandment in their everyday lives. A church that continually practices its belief in the power of prayer. A church on its knees before God. A church that authentically glorifies God through creative and active worship. A church with its heart focused on God. A church where everyone is discipled and discipling others to become more like Christ each day. A church where saved people, baptize people, and disciple people. A church that is extravagantly generous in its giving of its time, talents, and treasures to see God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. I desire to belong to a church that points people to Jesus by fostering in relationships. I desire to belong to a church where the gospel of Christ is presented in exciting and thought-provoking ways, where the messages are always biblical and life applicable, leading to life transformation. A church made up of life groups where people grow and are ministered to through lifelong relationships. Life groups where people do life together and learn how to become more like Christ every day in their lives, marriages, and occupations, where people are fully known, real, and authentic. A church where every member of the family, adults and children alike, are excited about going because they know they'll experience the love of Christ as they learn. A church that is as passionate as Jesus is about reaching and loving on our children and youth. A church that evangelizes and disciples our children and youth by loving and accepting them right where they're at in life. A church that helps people discover how God has created them and how He wants to utilize their gifts and abilities to glorify His name and further His kingdom. A church where the priority is equipping the saints to reach, baptize, and disciple like Christ. I desire to belong to a church that points people to Jesus by fostering out relationships. I desire to belong to a church that's broken for the lost and wrecked for those far from God. A church that does whatever it takes to reach Eastern Colorado and wherever else He calls us for the cause of Christ, because we're not okay with even one person dying without knowing Christ. A church where people who have never heard about Christ can feel comfortable and be given the grace necessary to explore who Jesus is and experience His love through those who attend. A church made up of servant leaders who, if necessary, are willing to lay down their lives for others and leave the 99 to reach the one. A church that puts the needs of those outside over the needs of those inside by practicing the mode of you over me. A church that is enthusiastically changing the surrounding communities and culture by loving and serving those in need. A church whose members give up preferences, change seats and parking spaces because they know it's not about being comfortable, but it's about reaching those far from God. A church committed to making Jesus Christ and His saving gospel known. A church with a passion for penetrating the dark areas, partnering with the Holy Spirit to reach people, transforming relationships, marriages, and families, breaking the chains of addiction and slavery to sin. A church with the same attitude as Jesus Christ that puts God's will first, sacrifices its own desires for God's desires to snatch people out of the grasp of the adversary's death grip. I desire to belong to a church that looks, speaks, and acts like Jesus Christ. that's the type of church you want to be a part of, then we would invite you to, at the end of the service, to grab a rock and sign on and take an active role. Engage in what's going on here. Adopt this as your life mission. Begin to learn how to reach and baptize and teach. We want you engaged, and we want you to be an integral part of what God is doing here at Mountain View Fellowship and not to miss out on what he's working on and doing. So let me say a prayer for us, and we'll wrap up here. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, first of all, for what you've done, for the fact we can sit in this building after 14 years and just reminisce about all the things that you've done, Lord. But help us not just to sit here and reminisce about the past, but help us look forward and be excited about advancing into the future. God, we know that each person here is a life that you've created and designed. You know them intimately. You desire a close relationship with them. God, I pray that right now you would lay it upon their hearts that you have a mission for them. Lord, if they've not accepted Christ, that it's time to. If they've not engaged with you in their faith, that it's time to. And Lord, I just pray for the leadership of this church that we would stay on our knees before you, that we would not lose touch with you. We would chase you wherever you would lead us. God, we pray for this. Thank you for the last 14. We look forward to what's next because we believe that the best is yet to come. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for joining us here at Mountain View Fellowship. We'd love the chance to meet you in person. We gather each Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. at 1955 Headlight Road in Strasburg, Colorado. If you aren't able to join us in person, we'll meet you right back here next week. God bless.